my questions overwhelm me, and I doubt God's power to save. When Satan seems to whisper, there is nothing but the grave, I call out to my Jesus for a vision of His face. And then my Savior lifts my eyes to behold His saving grace.
In Christ I stand forgiven, in Christ I stand redeemed, for through His resurrection death's chains are loosed from me. In Christ I stand victorious, in Christ I stand complete. Jesus rescued me on Calvary's cross, saw my debt and paid the cost, and now I know in Christ I stand. God has given me His answers to fight against the foe. Though Satan's strength is mighty, I will stand in Christ alone. The helmet of salvation and the Spirit's flashing sword,
the belt of truth, the shield of faith,
are mine through Christ the Lord. In Christ I stand forgiven, in Christ I stand redeemed, for through His resurrection death's chains are loosed from me. In Christ I stand victorious, in Christ I stand complete. Jesus rescued me on Calvary's cross, saw my debt and paid the cost, and now I know in Christ I stand.
In Christ I stand,
in
forgiven.
Christ I stand,
in
forgiven.
Christ I stand,
in Christ I stand,
in Christ alone
I stand complete. In Christ I stand. In Christ I stand forgiven. In Christ I stand redeemed. For through His resurrection death's chains are loosed from me. In Christ I stand victorious. In Christ I stand complete. Jesus rescued me on Calvary's cross, saw my debt and paid the cost, and now I know
in Christ I stand.
In Christ I stand.
In Christ I stand.
In Christ I stand.
Bless you this morning. Open your Bible to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. And I'm just going to read the first couple of verses, and we're going to refer to some of the other verses in the chapter. Psalm 45. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 for the text today. And so find that place in the middle of your Bible if you're getting used to it. Psalm 45, largest book in the Bible, chapter 45. Beginning with verse 1, where the Scripture says, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever." And I want to speak this morning on this subject, from mind to heart to tongue. From mind to heart to tongue. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and Holy Spirit of God. We talked about You in our Sunday school hour this morning in our New Beginnings class. And I pray, God, that You'll please allow the Holy Spirit to work in power in our midst this morning. I pray that He might have His will. I pray that we might experience the liberty that He brings to a church service when His people are gathered together. May He not be grieved today, God, through the bitterness or anger or grudge holding that maybe some have in their heart. I pray that we will be ready to hear Your Word today and that You'll have liberty to work in our hearts. And I pray that You'll fill us with Your power, dear Spirit of God, and we'll thank You for it in Christ's name. And amen. A few days ago, while I was going through the routine of my day, I began for some reason to think about Brother Wendell Runyon. Now, Brother Runyon last spoke here in September of 2015 at our missions conference. He's the director of International Baptist Outreach Mission Board, and they support national pastors in Egypt and Africa and down in Mexico and the Philippines, and they do a wonderful job through their ministry. I think now 300-plus some churches started, and they help a national pastor get a building and get stabilized, and it's a wonderful ministry. Brother Runyon preached here Sunday morning through Wednesday night back in 2015, and then he flew home on Thursday morning. And when he got to the airport, he went right from the airport there in Charlotte or Greensboro, I forget which one, North Carolina there, he went right from the airport to the hospital with congestive heart failure. Now, he's home, but he hasn't traveled to preach anywhere outside of the Asheville, North Carolina area since September of 2015. With the congestive heart failure, he is very limited to his activities. He has not traveled overseas. He used to go overseas 3 or 4 times a year. Nor has he traveled anywhere here in the States. And barring a miracle of God, he won't do that again. Now, he still works from his house. The cell phone, you know, for all of its junk, it sure has enabled a lot of things to get done. And from the cell phone, he can call around the world and check on the churches and the men and so forth. And they have directors in place. He still goes over to the radio station 3 to 4 hours a day. He still conducts a live broadcast at 5 o'clock every afternoon there in the Asheville, North Carolina area. But it's quite a different life now from the one he was living prior to September of 2015. And I thought about him. And I thought about, in my heart, as I did, my heart got full of appreciation for him and the friendship that we have built over these years and for what God had done through him. And as I began to think about Brother Runyon, my heart got full. And I thought to myself, I should call him. And so Saturday afternoon, I called him. After I got done visiting on my way home, I called Brother Runyon. And he answered the phone and went, no, he didn't. I left a voicemail. No, I didn't do that. His voicemail box was full. There it is. Okay. And so all he could see was my number. But he has my number. And after I got home, been home for about a half an hour, my cell phone rang and I saw it said Wendell Runyon. And I picked it up and we began to talk. And I said, really, preacher, I didn't want anything. I just wanted to call and tell you I love you and thank God for you. And I miss being around you. And I'd seen him last September on the tour with the girls from the college, but don't see him very often anymore. And he said, well, he said some things we do. We, you know, expressed our appreciation and so forth. And then I said, well, listen, I need to run. And he said, well, hey, brother, because he's very southern, you know, hey, brother. He said, can I pray for you? I said, absolutely. And I heard him on the other end of the line, dear Heavenly Father. And he got 5 or 6 words into his prayer, and he got all choked up. He got all emotional. And he said, Lord, you know, Brother Terry doesn't know, but you know what this phone call means to me. And he prayed for God's blessing on our family and for God's blessing on our children and grandchildren. He prayed for God's blessing on Faith Baptist Church. And he wept his way through his prayer. He was all choked up. When he got done, he said, I'm sorry, brother. He said, I worked for Dr. Ralph Sexton Sr. there in Asheville, a great, great church down there. And he said, Dr. Sexton got old and he didn't travel to preach anymore. And one day I called him and he said, Wendell, he said, nobody calls much anymore. He said, when you get off the circuit, you kind of get forgotten. And he said, I appreciate the phone call. And he said, Brother Terry, I appreciate your phone call this afternoon. It means so much to me. Now, I don't really want to talk about the phone call, okay? That's not the gist of my message this morning. Follow me. My mind moved my heart that moved my tongue. My mind moved my heart that moved my tongue. Now, in Psalm number chapter 45, Let me tell you just a little bit about the background of this song, then we'll tie all this together. It's one of the several songs that were written to be used in the worship of God. So these psalms, the word psalm actually means song, okay? So when you see Psalm 45, Song 45, and it was given to the sons of Korah to sing in the worship of God. The sons of Korah would be similar to our choir. Not everybody sings in the choir, okay? Some people have a heart to sing in the choir, but they probably shouldn't sing in the choir because it's like, you know, they can't carry a tune in a bucket. Amen. And we appreciate those of you who like to sing, but who know you shouldn't sing in the choir. And we hope you'll make a joyful noise wherever you're sitting out there. Okay. But that's what the sons of Korah were. They were a special group that was given specifically. That's no good when you close your notes. Amen. It's not time to go home. Amen. All right. So they were given specifically to sing to the in the temple worship of God, the tabernacle worship. And if I don't know if you have the headings in front of your song, your psalms there. Do you have the headings above it? To the chief musician upon Shoshanim for the sons of Korah, Maskell. And it says a song of loves. This particular song is a love song. It's a love song, a song of loves. And the primary subject of this psalm is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He's the primary subject of this psalm. And there are some beautiful comments about Jesus contained in this song. And let me say, folks, let me give you a few minutes on this today. This is not my message, but I don't want to pass up this opportunity. Let me remind you that singing has always played an important part in the worship of God. Before there was ever a human being on planet Earth, singing praises to God was already in progress. Before Adam and Eve ever entered into the Garden of Eden. I know that from Job 38. Job 38, God was asking Job a series of questions about creation. God basically asked Job, "Where were you when I created the earth?" Of course, Job had no answer for that. And then God asked Job this question, "Where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" The morning stars and the sons of God are both references to the angels. So before there was ever a man or a woman living in the Garden of Eden, the angels were singing praises to God. Singing praises to God. And folks, one of these days when all life is ended here on planet Earth, the angels are still going to be singing praises to God. And guess what? You're going to join them. Now, here's the blessing. In that day, you'll have a glorified voice. And we'll all be able to sing like Tony Lucco or some of these other ladies that sing on Sunday morning or Sunday night. We'll all be able to sing. And there won't be any long faces, you know, because when we're spiritual, we're... No, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 5 that they sang with a loud voice. I don't like loud. You better hope they have some heavenly earmuffs. Listen, you ever go to a baseball game and leave in the bottom of the 8th inning or the bottom of the 9th inning with the home team still batting? I've done that before. And figured it's all over, leave the stadium and walk to the car, and all of a sudden, en route to the car, hear this. I missed a home run. It's loud. Take these basketball stadiums, these basketball games, these NASCAR tracks, take all this stuff, take auditoriums filled with people to listen to a concert, and basketball games and football games, and there's loud noise. I don't believe heaven will be outdone by a stupid game. So if you don't like noise, you better take some aspirin or something when you get up there. I don't know. God loves to be praised by song. You say, why were these angels created to sing praise to God? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons. I only have one this morning. Because He's worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. And because God is worthy to be praised, people through time have picked up pen and written words and put those words to music, and those songs have been sung about God and His love. That's why, friend, I'll say it again. I'll make it a constant theme here from the pulpit. When we have the congregational sing time, it's time for us to get a book, to open that book, to look at those words, and to realize those words are not written primarily for me to sing so Brother Luke can hear them or so that these boys can hear them. Those words are written on paper so that I can lift my voice and sing to the God in heaven who's worthy to hear me sing to Him. Sing for His honor. I love it when we sing songs about His love. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. I love it when we sing songs about His power. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise. I love when we sing songs about His holiness. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I love it when we sing songs about His mercy. Mercy there was great and grace was free. I love it when we sing songs about His grace. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. I love it when we sing songs about His peace. It is well with my soul. I love it when we sing songs about His heaven like we did this morning in the opening song. I love it when we lift our voice. There's something wonderful about God's people lifting their voice in songs of praise for His honor and His glory. Sing the roof off. Say, I'm afraid I'll sing too loud. You can't sing too loud. You can't sing too loud. Sing the roof off. Man, lift your voice and sing and prepare your heart for the church service and prepare your heart for this. You say, I don't like to sing. Don't say that. Don't say that. Well, I got a friend of you being mad at me. I'm not mad at you. But you done stuck your foot in your mouth. Because Ephesians chapter 5 says people who are filled with the Spirit of God sing. And Colossians chapter 3 says people who are filled with the Word of God sing. So when you say, I don't like to sing, well, let's move on. Amen? So Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. That's what it says. So when we get in this church auditorium, man, get you a hymn book and lift your voice and sing. And I know some of you have to learn the songs and get used to them, but do your best and learn them and sing out and sing loud. And if somebody frowns at you, just smile back and say, amen, brother, you're going to get yours in heaven someday. Amen. Yeah, listen, not everybody comes to church because they have to. Not everybody comes to church because it's an obligation. Not everybody comes at the last minute and leaves at the first exit. Not everybody does that. Some of us come here because we enjoy church, and we enjoy serving the Lord, and we enjoy lifting our voices and singing praises to God and singing for His honor and His glory. You got a whole book in the Bible of songs. You got Song of Solomon, and the angels were singing the praises of God in heaven before there was ever a human being on planet earth. Amen and amen. Did I visit that well enough? You visited that well enough. All right, let's move on. Amen. Now, Psalm 45 was written. And by the way, if you don't like that, you can lump it. Stick it in your purse and go home. That's the kind of church we're going to have. The kind of church that pleases God. And I've said it and heard so many men say it down through the years, you can gauge the spiritual temperature of a person and a church by its singing. Hello. Now, Psalm 45 was written to be sung by a choir or a group of people. He said here in verse number 45, for they wrote this word for these people to sing. My heart is inditing a good matter. Inditing a good matter. Now that word inditing, usually when we hear the word inditing, it's a crime that has been committed. But I want you to see it's not spelled the exact same way. Indict means making a formal or written charge. But this is not an indictment against somebody for a crime they committed. This is a psalmist talking about a heart that is charged up about something good. The psalmist is saying, I have been thinking seriously about a good matter. My heart is charged up and full because of what I have been thinking about. Or better, church, who he had been thinking about. You know, just like I got Brother Runyon on my mind and began to think about him, my heart grew warm and my heart got full and my heart got charged up with good thoughts and good memories of Brother Runyon, because from mind to heart, from mind to heart. And that happens to you and me when we take the time to think about someone. We remember what they have meant to us. Our hearts get full. They get warm. They get charged up. So he said, it starts in my mind. I've been thinking here. Look what he said. And in the middle of the verse, I speak of the things which have I have made touching the King. He said, okay, so I've been thinking about these things touching the King, King Jesus, the Messiah. And it moved my heart. Now, look at what he said at the end of verse number 1. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So my heart is full, and it's so full that the overflow comes out of my tongue. My thoughts are about the King and His beauty and His glory, and it warms my heart. And my heart is charged up and full with a good matter. And that begins to overflow, and it goes from mind to heart to tongue. Mind to heart to tongue. And he says he's thinking about Jesus. Look at verses 6 and 7. This is the main person in this psalm. He says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of Thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, even Thy God hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. Now, folks, does those two verses sound like he's writing to a human being? Is he writing to a human being? No. Who's he writing about? He's writing about Jesus. He's writing about King Jesus. And he's got Jesus on his mind, and he's thinking about Jesus. And his heart is indicting a good matter as he thinks about the King. And his heart is full, and his heart is charged up. And because his mind has been thinking about Christ, his heart is warmed about Christ, and now his tongue is ready to speak. His tongue's ready to speak. There's a couple of books that you could buy that are interesting reading. They're called The Stories Behind the Songs. And it gives the story behind the hymns that we sing in our hymn book. And here something happens. And this guy is musically inclined. And something happens and he begins to think about it. And God works in his heart. And his heart gets full. And some words come to his mind. And a tune comes to his mind. And he goes to his room and he sits down. And he takes a piece of paper, goes to his piano, sits down, takes a piece of paper, takes a pen. And he pecks out notes and he writes some notes. Pecks out some more notes and then he makes chords. Then he pecks out some more notes and he writes a verse and inverts a chorus. And then he puts some words to it. And he puts a song on paper. And then we come to church and we sing it. Where did it start? It started in that brother's mind, moved to his heart, and then eventually moved to his tongue. The pen of a ready writer. From mind to heart to tongue. Brother Runyon. Oh, man. I wonder how he's doing. Man, I remember when he came to church several times. And oh, boy, what a blessing he was to me. You with me? Mind to heart to tongue. I wonder, folks, if that's why some of us never speak about Jesus to anybody. Our tongues aren't ready because our hearts aren't full, because our minds are occupied with everything but Christ. That's where I'm going in this message. That's all. The other stuff was just introduction. You see, this is the month of emphasizing witnessing as a part of consecration. We didn't put the consecration banner back up because Revival Fire starts in a couple weeks. It'll be back up with a new format to it and a new look. But we're not getting away from the theme of consecration, filling the hand of God, filling the hand of God with prayer, filling the hand of God with reading the Bible, filling the hand of God with a preaching, and filling the hand of God with witnessing or testifying for the Lord Jesus. And folks, you know, listen, it is so much easier to be a witness for Jesus when our tongues are ready to speak because our hearts are so full and charged up with good thoughts about Jesus. The songwriter took his pen and he put some notes down and he put the words, "Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord." I wonder why he was ready to talk about Him, because his heart was moved, because his mind had been occupied with Christ. Mind to heart to tongue. Mind to heart, by the way. It's not surprising that some folks come to a church service week after week and never enter into the spirit of the service, because there's no thought before you walk in that door. No thought. No thought on Saturday night. No thought early Sunday morning. Church day. Assembly day. The people of God are there. And Jesus has promised that where we would meet together, He would meet with us. So the Lord Jesus is going to be there in spirit and in truth, hopefully, as the truth is preached from the Word of God. And some folks never think a thing about a church service until they walk in and come through the doors over here and over here. Some, your mind's on church. And your mind is, I can't wait to get to Sunday school. I'm going to get to see so-and-so. I haven't seen him since last week or last Wednesday, and had to work Wednesday and I haven't seen him. And I'm going to get to go, and the choir's going to sing, and the songs are going to be sung. And my heart, in your mind, moves your heart. And you come in here and the opening song, open it up, and what a day that will be. And your tongue is the pen of a ready writer, because your heart was prepared, because your mind was prepared. Mind. You know, folks, this is not just an exercise. Exercises at the gym. This is church. This is assembly of born-again, baptized people who belong to God, who should be ready to praise Him when we get here. Should be ready. Now, look, I know who I'm preaching to this morning. I know we've got folks that put in a ton of time and hours here. But I want to tell you something. Even a tired body can have a happy heart and a prepared heart. From mind to heart to tongue. And the psalmist said, you know, I've been thinking about my King. And boy, because I've been thinking about my King, my heart is inditing a good matter. It's full and charged up with good things about my King. And now it's so full that it's overflowing and my tongue is ready to speak about this great King. And so let me give you some things to think about this morning. Number one, listen carefully. There is much to think about in a day's time. Much to think about in a day's time. Isn't that true, church? It's true. Most people's days are full of matters about which to think. And by the way, folks, some of those matters need thought. People's minds are on family. Family needs thought. People's minds are on work. Work needs thought. People's minds are on the future. The future needs thought. People's mind is on our country, and our country needs thought. People's mind is on their health, and health needs thought. People's mind is on friends, and people need to think about friends, and people need to think about finances. Life is full of matters that are worthy of thought. You know, what have you thought about today? Think about all the things you thought about today. Think about all the things you thought about yesterday and the day before yesterday. And I mean the things you thought about this week. The days are full of things to think about. There's much to think about in a day's time. Let me say number two this morning. Jesus is worthy of thought. He is worthy of thought. You know, there are people in our lives that are worthy of thought. My parents are worthy of thought. I thought about them this week. In fact, I talked to them this week. My family's worthy of thought. You folks are worthy of thought. I made phone calls, sent text messages to people this week on specific days when I knew certain things were going on in their life. I was not able to see Beth before they left for her granddaddy's funeral, but I was able to text them on Friday morning. I'm thinking about you and praying that God will give you a comforting memorial service. That's down in Tennessee. Click, click, they got it. Boom. You're worthy of my thought. I want to tell you somebody else who's worthy of thought. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is worthy of thought. And God the Father is worthy of thought. And the Spirit of God is worthy of thought. I'm going to tell you something. One reason why that's true, look at chapter 40. Turn back one page. Look at chapter 40 and verse number 5. Chapter 40 and verse number 5. And look at what the Bible says here, chapter 40, verse number 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to who? Usward. Who's that talking about? Us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Hello? You what the psalmist just said, folks? You know who's been thinking about you? God's been thinking about you. You've been on God's mind. I've been on God's mind. In fact, the Bible says, if to try to number all the thoughts that in God go through God's mind, if you will, about His people, they are more than can be numbered. Did you ever get a phone call from somebody and they said, you know, hey, brother, hey, I was just thinking about you. And you talked to them and you hung up. You said, boy, oh boy, I should really think about them. It's been a long time since I thought about that person. But can I tell you, Christian friend, that God is thinking about you? He's thinking about your burdens. He's thinking about your cares. He's thinking about your life. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about you over and over and over and over and over again. God's thinking about you, thinking about you, thinking about you. And then I read Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. The psalmist said, God, great is the sum of your thoughts toward me. Now let me give you a scary thought. Well, that's not scary, Brother Angel, that God thinks about me. That's kind of comforting. Psalm 94, verse number 11, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. Uh-oh. So while He's thinking about me, He knows how much I'm thinking about Him. Or how little I'm thinking about Him. I'm not super pious. I like to know the scores of the games. I know the Cubs are having their opening game tonight in St. Louis. I know that. I know who's going to play in the championship game on Monday. I know that. But that does not make up the sum total of what goes in these ears. When I'm in my vehicle, I've been putting in those preaching CDs and I've been listening to songs, good godly music. And sometimes, not every time, but a lot of times on the road in my driving, I'm thinking about God because of the music I'm listening to and this preaching and maybe going through something on my phone and pray for somebody and pray for some. But God says, I think about you, but when's the last time you thought about me? When's the last time you thought about me? And maybe that's why our tongues are never ready to speak. Because our hearts are never charged up and full, because we're occupied with things that are, wait, things that are worthy of thought, but Jesus is worthy too. Number three, the pace of life is quickening. The pace of life is quickening. You know what I'm saying by this? The Bible indicates that in the last days, the pace of life gets faster and faster. If you've got a brain in your head, you know that the pace of life is faster today than it was 20 years ago. I remember in the old building, for my birthday, I think, you folks on one of my birthdays gave me a cell phone. It was in a bag. You remember that? It was in a bag. And it had this bag phone, I think it was. And so, and look where we are today. And life is, the pace of life is faster and faster and faster. What's the buzzword nowadays? Can you multitask? Little boy down in Texas wishes he hadn't been multitasking. Texting as he's driving his 3/4-ton pickup, smashed into that church van, killing 13 people. Elderly folks who'd been First Baptist Church in that place in Texas, been to a retreat and returning to the church. And he's texting on his phone, weaving all over the road, and the guy behind him is trying to get a hold of the authorities to get him off the road, and he crosses over the median, smashing it, 13 adults killed. One, can you imagine that church service this morning? Well, if we went around the room, took 13 of our senior citizens who were in Brian's class, had an empty seat this morning. There's a church down south that's having service right now with those conditions. Because the guy was texting. Because life is picking up pace. And it's good to do this and do this, and I can do this at the same time they're doing this, and I can do this and I can do that. And I was in the store the other day, made a purchase, and there were several registers, and one lady was working my register, working this guy's register, and I said, man, they ought to give you double pay. I said, my goodness. I mean, she was getting, and that's how life is. That's how life is for me. That's how life is for you. And it just gets quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. And eventually, some things get left out of our thoughts. Number four, don't let Jesus slip through the cracks. Don't let Jesus slip through the cracks. In the pace that is just hastening and quickening day after day after day, faster and faster and faster. I brought Colin in, or as Brother Don said this week, Colin. Amen. Did y'all hear that? Colin won an award at the Pilots, and I was over there taking stuff down in the gym with Brother Joe and Brother Luke, and over the speaker I heard Brother Don say, in fourth place, Colin Hanley. Colin Hanley, I thought that's funny. But anyway, Colin and I were coming in this morning, and we were talking, he's getting his permit and starting to drive now, and I said, how is it? Are you driving some, Colin? And he said, yeah. He said, I always look forward to the day I would get my learner's permit and start driving, and he says, now that I've gotten it, it just seems like life is happening so fast. And I smiled. And it is. For him. I said, Colin, wait till you get to be 50 and 60. And life just goes. And every day. Multitask? Folks, I submit to you, our minds can only take care of so much at one time. You know who falls through the cracks? The Lord Jesus. He falls through the cracks. Because Jesus, you know, He just stands there and He doesn't scream and holler and demand time. I love you. I think about you. In fact, the number of thoughts I have about you are endless. But I'm not going to scream for your time. Now, sports, hey, think about me. Hey, think about me. Money. Hey, think about me. Work. Hey, no. Think about me. Hey, you. No. Hey. Jesus just stands there. Don't let Him fall through the cracks. Folks, this is why our hearts are not moved, warm. Some cases not ready for church. Some cases not ready to sing. Some cases work and live around people Monday through Friday, 40 hours or more. And never say a word about, won't you come with me Easter Sunday? Because our hearts aren't moved. Because our minds are preoccupied about everything but Christ. Now look, I know when you go to work, you got to concentrate on work. I understand that. But there are times throughout the day when you can get your mind on Jesus Christ. What do you need to do not to let Jesus fall through the cracks of your thought processes? What do you need to do? Do you need to exchange some of the country music for gospel music? Quit listening to the guy sing about being in a bar crying in his beer because his eighth wife just left him. You mean I got to give up Merle Haggard? Maybe you ought to get one of those CDs and stick it in your car and let some person sing about how wonderful God is. Christ falls through the cracks. And we start at 5 o'clock in the morning and we spend a 15-hour day or an 18-hour day. Not one time or very little time thinking about Jesus. Think, nothing about Christ. It's no wonder our hearts are cold and our tongues aren't ready. What do you need to do to get Jesus on your mind? The teenagers have a song they sing once in a while. Jesus, 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 I've got Him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I've got Him on my mind. Well, Pastor, that's the world you live in. I get sick of hearing that. Like there's some kind of super Christian experience that a pastor is supposed to be engulfed in, and us folks got other things more pressing on our time. I'm gonna tell you something, friend. Whether you live or eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's kind of what Paul said. Get off that. Get out of that mindset. You're a child of God. You're born again. You're redeemed. You're saved. You got a mansion waiting for you in heaven. You reckon you can give God 10 minutes? A thought? What do you need to do to change things? What do you need to do to change things to get Jesus on your mind? To get Jesus on your mind. You think about Jesus and hey, I tell you what, if you've never done it, come to church tonight at 6 o'clock for the Lord's Supper. I'll promise you, you'll get Jesus on your mind tonight. And your heart will be warm. And your tongue just might be ready to speak. Let me ask this. Do you need to think about your eternal destiny? Do you need to think about the Lord Jesus in the light of the fact that He died for you and paid your sin debt so that you could go to heaven? Do you need to think about the fact that if you die without Christ, you'll be separated from Him forever and ever and ever? If you need to think about that this morning, I got good news for you. Add this to your thoughts. You can trust the Lord Jesus today and be saved. And go away from this place with eternal life because Jesus has paid it in full. From mind to heart to tongue. What's the Lord want to say to you this morning? I will tell you this much, and I'm no novice. I'm no expert on anything, but I am not a novice. And I've been standing here in this place, or the old auditorium, for almost 27 years and 10 years of ministry in Iowa. And I'm going to tell you this morning, we've been swimming through mud. And things have been happening. People leave away. I don't know what people walking out back there now. All of it, a distraction possibly from just the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts. What does God want to say to you this morning? Can you sing, Jesus, 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 I've got Him on my mind. Oh, I've got to think about my family too, yes, but then I'm going to come back to Christ. And I've got to think at work and concentrate, but I'm going to come back to Christ. Set your affection on things above. Not old things of the earth. From mind to heart to tongue. Let's pray. Father in heaven, speak to our hearts this morning, please. I don't understand all the disruptions, and some, I guess, are necessary. But, Lord, I just feel like we've been swimming through mud today. Maybe the devilish host is working overtime to hinder the message. I don't know. Maybe, God, our hearts are just not such a case to receive it. I don't know. But Lord, Your Word has been preached, I believe, in truth this morning. And I trust the Spirit of God will take it and use it. And Lord, help us to get Jesus on our minds and our hearts warm because of it and ready to speak a word to somebody about the One whom we've been thinking. Bless us today. Speak to our hearts, I pray, Lord, as only You can. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Terry, I need to get Jesus on my mind more than I have. I'm not talking about being pious. I'm not talking about being unsensible. But as I look at my life, I see that Jesus has fallen through the cracks too often. Pray for me that God will help me get Christ on my mind this week. Would you raise your hand wherever you're sitting today? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Bid Him any hands. Amen. I appreciate it. Thank you. You may take your hand down. Somebody else? Pray for me that I get Christ on my mind more than I have been. God bless you. Somebody else. Get my heart ready. God bless you. See hands slowly going up. I appreciate it. Let me ask this question today. If you know that you're here and you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, you never thought about this matter of being saved, you don't know if you're saved or not, if that's you this morning, could I pray for you? Would you please slip your hand in the air? Let me ask the Lord to speak to your heart today in a special way. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Just put your hand up in the air and right back down. Anybody like that here today? Anybody? Is there somebody here today? You're here, you've been saved, you're here to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and you came prepared to do that today. If you came prepared to do that, now's the time to come. And if you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, now's the time to come while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and our people are in place to help you while we wait today. And if you just need to pray about something that the Lord put on your heart, the altar will be open for that as well. Father, I pray that you'll take the message and speak to us about it. I pray that Jesus will be on our minds in the next few days a little bit more than he has been recently in some cases. Warm our hearts and help our tongues to be ready to speak, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are going to begin playing a song of invitation. They play. You ask the Lord to speak to your heart this morning. You obey God this morning and come and do what you're supposed to do. While we wait, if you need to be saved, now's the time to come. If you need to be baptized, now's the time to come. Step out and obey Christ in that matter while we wait today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Did you raise your hand this morning? I need Christ on my mind.